Thank you all for coming, and thank you for fighting the good fight to get here. I promise you, I do understand. It's a battle.
Amen.
We are in a warfare. Amen. So, in chapter 6 of Revelation, it spoke of the opening of the first six seals. But it ended before the seventh seal was opened. Mm-hmm. Chapter 7 came in, and in the first few verses recorded the halting of everything until the 144,000 servants of God were sealed in their foreheads. It is not until chapter 8 that the seventh seal and final seal is opened. Revelation chapter 8:1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for blessing us as you have. Thank you, Lord, for another Father's Day on this side of the grass, as they say. We just thank you for your wonderful love and your kindness. We thank you for your grace that's so much better than words. And we pray, Lord, that you will be pleased with our service from this point forward. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It may help to remember that up until this point, the focus has been the opening of one scroll with the seven seals holding that scroll closed. And so it was like one whole scroll that was to be opened, but there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seals that had to be broken at a time. So it would help to remember that that's what was going on when the Lamb was breaking one seal and another seal and another seal. And as the seals were broken, certain things came out. Certain things were happening. Seal 1 through 6 have all been broken now. And the accompanying judgments from those seals have been announced. When the seventh and final seal is broken, the scroll will be completely opened. Once that final seal is opened now, the scroll then can be completely opened. Nothing more will be required to allow the carrying out of the remaining judgments. Before they begin, there will be this one half hour of silence in heaven. No thunderings, no voices, no four creatures praising around the throne, no 24 elders falling on their faces and casting their crowns. The heavenly hosts will stop singing, and the tribulation saints will stop their praising. Everyone will wait in silence for what's coming next. And so that last seal, there's silence in heaven. And then Revelation 8:2 says, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." So you think trumpet judgments, because there are other judgments coming. So trumpet judgments are going to be the next coming. So there were given unto them seven trumpets. Now, the tribulation period goes by many names, and it could be confusing as you read through the scriptures about the different names. One of the names is the time of Jacob's trouble. Another name is Daniel's 70th week. Another name is the day of the Lord's vengeance. The prophet Zephaniah gives it seven different names for the tribulation period. Zephaniah 1:14-16, it calls it the great day of the Lord. It calls it a day of wrath. It's called a day of trouble and distress. It's called a day of wasteness and desolation. It's called a day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of trumpet and alarm against fenced cities. Day of trumpet and alarm is number 7 on the list. And Revelation 8:2 tells us that the seven angels were given 7 trumpets. Now, of all of the angels in heaven, only 7 are said to constantly stand in the presence of God. They are commonly known as archangels, but some call them angels of the presence. Angels of the presence that stand in the presence of God. Now, The 1611 King James Bible identifies two of these angels, these archangels. One is Gabriel, and one is Michael, identified by the Bible that we read. But there's another book called the Apocrypha, which is a, they call it a non-canonical book that are omitted from the Bible that we read. So I want to make that clear. But this particular book identifies the other five by name. And I'll just read them out. Don't worry about this. Just let you know. There are some folks talking about other names for the angels. These are the names that the Apocrypha gives of the other five angels besides Gabriel and Michael. Uriel, Raphael, Raguel, Remiel, and Suriel. But we would be safe to stick with what we have in our regular scriptures. And though there are a total of seven angels, they say, that stand around the throne of God, our Bible, our Protestant Bible, gives us two names, Michael and Gabriel. So we just want to stick with those names, yeah. You know. And if God wants us to have the other five names, he would have put it in the King James. Yeah. So he didn't put it in there. And so I'm just kind of throwing it out to let you know that there are other sources that will be thrown at you that will come up with names and other little situations and circumstances that, just read it for what it's worth. God got the Bible that we have into our hands. This is the Bible that we need to really concentrate on. And I can tell you, if I studied my Bible for the rest of my life, I would still not get to the bottom of it. I will still not comprehend all there is to comprehend in the scriptures. And I don't think anyone can, because the Bible is like a moving stream. Every time you come back, there's something that there that you didn't see the last time. And you read and go, what? Where did that come from? And you know, I thought I had it, and there's something else. And so I don't know that there's any bottoming out of this, of the scriptures. God has done something with this word that is so unique and so different. And at 30, I'm reading through and I'm studying this, and boy, I got it. I could go and tell everybody everything, and I come back at 40 and go, ooh, where'd that come from? So I just never really did get it all. But whatever their names are, they make announcements, and the announcements that they make are of great significance. When these seven angels make announcements, they are very significant announcements because they're standing in the presence of God, right? Very significant announcement. Each angel is handed a trumpet on this particular day. Also, these angels receive the trumpets in heaven as they stand before the throne of God and Jesus, ready to be dispatched, ready to be dispatched for service. They are there waiting. You remember the story of Daniel began to pray. He began to buffet himself because he wanted something from God. It was like he prayed 21 days. And it makes it look like it takes 21 days for God to make up his mind to answer. And God answered that day. But the angel was coming with the answer. The Bible says he got held up by the prince over that area. And he was 21 days. The angel was 21 days trying to get through with the answer that was sent that day when Daniel prayed. And so Michael had to come and free this angel up so that he could come through Daniel with that particular answer. And so God answers. Gabriel and Michael are the two that we're talking about. So God answers. That's why when I pray, King Jesus will roll my burdens away. Not might, not could, but he will.
Amen.
And his answer is immediate. Might not always be what you want to hear, but he does answer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's not now, but later. But he answers. And so that gives you time to grow while you wait, waiting on him to move. But he does answer. Now, Revelation 8:3, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Now, this is an eighth angel. The eighth angel is not identified, but he apparently holds a special position of service before the golden altar of God. Now, if you would imagine this, you have the throne of God, then you have the altar before the throne of God, where Jesus ministers at the altar because he's the high priest. Altar, the throne of God, then there's the golden altar, and then of course you have the four creatures that sit before that. Then you have the 24 elders, and you got the seven angels that stand in the presence of God, and you got this rainbow that John saw over here, and you have thunders and lightnings and voices, and all this activity is happening at the presence of God. All this is happening in heaven. There's a lot of activity happening in heaven. I hope you like a lot of activity and being around a lot of people, because that's what this is going to be. It's going to be a lot of activities. It's going to be a lot of things you haven't seen. You know, I want to go and stand next to one of them creatures and say, "Look at me, I don't mean to stare, but I was reading about you. What's this head thing you got going? All these faces, and you know, how does that work? Can you tell me about that? You know, I want to talk to him. I'm going to go to Mary and say, hey, this overshadow thing, can you kind of break that down for me? Because it was kind of odd. It never really explained it. I looked it up, but it didn't give me much. You know, tell me about it, Mary, you know. And it's going to be, I hope you like a lot of activity. Folks think, oh, we're going to get to heaven, and all we're going to do is just sit on clouds and play harps. Just the scene here says that it is going to be, it's going to, you know how they have a something out in the park and there's people everywhere? Mm-hmm. And you just walk, you don't know nobody, but you just like being in the midst. If you like that kind of crowd, here's a crowd that's a holy crowd, mm-hmm. that's a clean crowd, yeah. And everybody wants you to see you do good. Everybody loves you. Everybody cares. Everybody got the same motive. They want to worship God and love one another. There's nobody there that has ill content. There's no one there that's trying to pickpocket somebody or trying to rip off somebody or trying to snatch one of these honeys and, you know, trying to do some dirt or something to somebody. As you know, you find in these crowds that we hang about. But this is going to, listen, this place that we're talking about is going to be quite a place for us. But I want to caution you that as we move on through the book of the Revelation, if you like horror movies and blood and gore, then you're going to love the rest of the book of the Revelation. But if you don't, fasten your seatbelt. Because there are some things coming in the book of Revelation that will really, and very shocking things that's going to happen to mankind in the world. It was one creature there, I believe, in chapter 9. He has, won't get that today or next week. He has the face of a man. He has the hair of a woman. He has the teeth of a lion. He has the body of a horse. And his tail is like a scorpion's tail, and they're sent out to harass and hurt men, and men are going to be so hurt and so harassed by these things that they are going to seek death. Right now we run from death, we dodge death. You watch the light before you cross the street. You're careful how you talk to this person over here. You don't say anything and everything to everybody. You know somebody beat you down. You know what I mean? You might have his boys. But this right here, men are going to seek death. And the Bible says death will flee from them. Death will elude them. They will not be able to catch death. Amen. It's like you are going to suffer through this. I think it's four months. God had a four-month time span set for these men to suffer. So you're not going to get out of this. You're going to suffer all 4 months. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to kill yourself. You're not going to die. No, the rocks are not going to fall on you. You're going to live and go through this suffering. and the sting of a scorpion. And a scorpion sting is a horrible sting. It swells and it gets red and it throbs and it doesn't kill you, but you wish you was dead, you know. And these things are going to have teeth of lion coming. That's just the next chapter, y'all. It gets worse. It gets worse. So ain't you glad you know Jesus?
Amen.
Now listen, we might die before all of this happen anyway, so we won't have to worry about it. But you know, we still be with Him, and we will go to be with Him. But for whatever generation is on the earth when this happens, that's why we got to get the message, man. People need to come on in. You know, people need to come on in because this is very serious, very serious. The golden censer is similar to the one that's used in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament Jewish temple, the golden censer. It contains lit charcoal that's burned under a layer of incense. It's hot charcoal, and it's warm. And when that charcoal warms the incense, a sweet fragrance is produced from that. You've seen the Catholic services where they go down the aisle and they've got incense and they're swinging. It's similar to that. It's like a censer, and they're swinging the incense. And that's what this is similar to right here. And it produces a real pleasant smell. The eighth angel will come with a golden censer and stand before the altar of God. He will be given a great quantity of incense, a lot of incense, a great quantity of incense to mix with the prayers of the saints of God. Then he will place the censer on the golden altar before the throne of God. This is an activity that the angel will make. In Revelation 8:4, it says, "And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." So listen, our prayers, all saints, it says all saints, all saints' prayers. So the prayers of all the saints are offered to God. We may never know what all the prayers are, but we do know about the prayers of the tribulation saints because it records their prayer. We know about them in Revelation 6:10, which states that the souls that were under the altar that were slain for the word of God cried with a loud voice. And this is what they said: "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" So a comment in the book of Revelation, this commentary that I use, it's called the Smart Guide to the Bible series. It says that judgment is not God's first choice. It's not his first choice, but patience is. He's patient and will hold off his judgment longer than any man. Nevertheless, when all options fail, his judgments will fall. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God and the Lord is not slight concerning his promises, as some count slightness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God is applying his long-suffering towards men and mankind now. God is being very patient with us. He's being patient with mankind. I've heard it said that there's not one prophecy left that needs to be fulfilled before Jesus comes. And so right now, Jesus can come right now, but God has delayed it because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is giving other men time to consider the message and to repent and come to him. And he's also giving us time to grow spiritually and become more like Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The use of incense in religious services always affect the olfactory or the sense of smell. It is somehow a catalyst for spiritual sensitivity. Somehow the use of incense spurs spirituality or spurs spiritual sensitivity. When the angel presents the hot coal and burning incense with the prayers of the saints, causing the smoke to drift toward the throne of God, God will smell the incense, he will hear the prayers, and prepare his answer. When the smoke of the incense rises up to the throne of God, God will smell the incense, he will hear the prayers of the saints, and he will prepare his answer. Revelation 8:5 says, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. So much for the half hour of silence in heaven. So much for that. But he took that censer and he threw it down to the earth. Now there were, he was in heaven presenting this on the golden altar in heaven. But then he took and he threw it down to the earth. And then there became the earthquakes and the voices and the thunderings. Threw it on the earth. So once the incense and the prayers of the saints are consumed, that means burned up. Once that's done, the angel takes that same censer and he returns to the altar with that. Then he'll fill it with fire again and he throws it down to the earth. See, so he's twice at the altar. So he's doing some kind of ministry of some type, but there's judgments that are about to begin. Those trumpet judgments that had not really started yet. But he was preparing and getting ready for those judgments. That's the eighth angel getting ready for those judgments to take place. And so he filled it with fire from the altar, and that's when he threw it down to the earth. God will avenge the tribulation saints, and he'll do it with fiery trials on the earth. Fiery trials. The casting of the censer to the earth by the angel will be a clear statement of God's wrath. There will be no doubt about it. Something is truly about to happen, and the earth will know it when it takes place. This will all be followed by loud thunderings and great flashings of lightnings and an earthquake. An earthquake. I've never been. You ever been in an earthquake? Do you know, can you imagine what it is for this building to go whoosh, swoosh? Earthquakes do that. A lady I knew visited her daughter in California. She was sitting on a little bar stool. And the next thing you know, she said she was sitting on the floor. And she told her daughter, that's a H of a thing for you to do, you know. Well, the daughter didn't do anything. There was an earthquake. And the thing moved so violently that the chair went from under her. Now you pull a paper, you've got stuff on it, you take it, you snatch a paper, and the stuff is still sitting there, but you got the paper. Uh-huh. That was that violent. The earthquake was that violent that when it went, it left her in the air, down she goes. That's an earthquake we know nothing about. We know about hurricanes, we know about storms, we don't know about earthquakes. But earthquakes are very deadly. And this says that there will be an earthquake. But this earthquake will be God-inspired earthquake. It will be one caused by God. It's what a powerful earthquake this is going to be. God's response to the prayers of his hurting people will be felt by the whole earth. The entire earth is going to feel this response. It's not just going to be in the Middle East. It's going to be a worldwide effect that this thing is going to have. And everyone on the earth is going to hear it. Revelation 8:6 tells us that the judgment begins after the seven angels prepared to blow their trumpets. So we're going to go ahead and close here, and we'll pick up next week at Revelation chapter 8, verse 6. Because those judgments are going to start. I hope you can make it. Because this is, well, you cannot find a more dramatic program on any television than this book, Revelation, here. It is full of drama. It is full of surprises. There are leading actors, leading people in here. And there are villains, as you want to call them, villains that are there. And it's just full of ripping, roaring, very exciting things that we get to study and look at and to see how it happens. But thank God in Christ, we don't have to participate. Amen. Mm-hmm. We just get to watch. And so I know you watch TV, and so that's what this will be like, watching TV. And but this will be real. They won't be pretending. It'll be real. Amen?
Amen.
So thank you, Lord, for your wonderful blessing in the book of the Revelation. And keep us, Lord, that we might come back and study more of your word, that we might better comprehend exactly what it is that you are going to do in the years to come to this earth, as you will redeem those in the Revelation great tribulation, and that you will also judge those, Lord, that have rejected you. So be with us and help us and keep us, Lord, and bring us back again according to your will and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.